WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. A harmful algal bloom means no swimming at a park in Albemarle County. Governor Youngkin recognizes Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month. And will new Trump administration rules on species protection affect the Eastern Hellbender? This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, May 21st. Swimming in the lake at Walnut Creek Park in Albemarle County is currently prohibited due to a harmful algae bloom. The Department of Parks and Recreation closed the lake, and officials have asked people not to make contact with the water until further notice. The park is still open for boating, hiking, and fishing, and no health problems have been reported. The summer swim season begins Saturday, and Chris Green Lake Park and Mint Springs Valley Park will be open for swimmers. Governor Glenn Youngkin visited a women's behavioral health center Tuesday as part of an effort to recognize Maternal Mental Health Awareness Month. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
According to the Virginia Department of Health, 86% of pregnancy-associated accidental deaths were from overdoses. At an event at Richmond Behavioral Health Women's Campus in Northside Tuesday morning, Amanda Brandt shared her story. Incarcerated while pregnant, with a history of substance abuse and mental health issues, she got her life back on track after a referral program saw her and her baby moved into the facility together. Now she secured housing, has months of sobriety, and custody of her child.
I know what it feels like to think you've messed up too bad to come back from it, but you haven't. If I can do it, anyone can.
Governor Glenn Youngkin, also at Tuesday's event, said changes under his administration have led to fewer maternal deaths and better outcomes for women who would otherwise slip through the cracks. He pointed to mental health and addiction treatment initiatives like Right Help Right Now as boons for expectant mothers addressing the leading cause of maternal mortality.
Being in drug treatment or in counseling is the key.
And Delegate Rodney Willett, chair of the House Behavioral Health Committee, said bipartisan agreements on nearly $7 million in new funds for programs, as well as legislative changes that can help address workforce issues, will help reduce maternal mortality.
This is a rural issue, it's an urban issue, it's a suburban issue. We lack enough providers. So that's going to continue to be my focus, and I think you'll see that as a shared interest going forward.
Willett added they'd look to address the issue via more spending in the 2026 budget, a process he said will start in the coming months. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Governor Youngkin directed state leaders to do more to track incidents of anti-Semitism and anti-religious bigotry at Virginia's schools through an executive order announced Monday evening. The Virginia Mercury reports that Executive Order 48 expands on his administration's efforts and work by the legislature to combat prejudice against Jewish students at all levels of Virginia's education system. The executive order says that surveys conducted by the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, a commission established by the governor in 2022, found 554 recorded anti-Semitism incidents in Virginia over the past year, with most of them occurring in Virginia's schools. Candidates for state office are getting new restrictions on how they can use campaign cash. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the details.
Paying your home mortgage with a campaign account? That would be prohibited under a new law signed by Governor Glenn Youngkin. So would using campaign cash for clothing, automobiles, vacations, tuition, sporting events, concert tickets, or even country club memberships. Senator Jennifer Boyce is a Democrat from Herndon who says she would have liked to have seen an exemption for candidates to use political contributions to buy a wardrobe.
I am glad to know that there are many nonprofits that work to help with business attire that could help supplement someone's wardrobe if need be. But in the end, that was not the will of the body.
One expenditure that is authorized is childcare. Here's Delegate Mike Cherry, a Republican from Colonial Heights.
Not only did we allow childcare, but dependent care as well, because we do have some legislators that are taking care of elderly family members that they need care for while they're campaigning.
So what about buying a pizza for campaign volunteers? The new law forbids using campaign cash for household food items. But if candidates want to know if the pizza would run afoul of the law, they can always ask for an advisory opinion from the Virginia Department of Elections. I'm Michael Pope.
And finally today, a pair of salamanders native to Virginia are eligible for federal protections under the Endangered Species Act. But the Trump administration is aiming to redefine how habitat destruction factors into those protections. Also with Virginia Public Radio, Dave Cantor has more on the eastern hellbender and the yellow-spotted woodland salamander.
More salamander species live in Appalachia than anywhere else in the world. And while the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service previously declined to list the hellbender, late last year, a new proposal was filed to get it protected. Ramona McGee is a senior attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center. The organization's worked on trying to get the hellbender listed. But she said the Trump administration's attempt to redefine a key term in the Endangered Species Act could complicate her work.
The problem is that the agencies seem to be prepared to narrow their understanding of harm under the Endangered Species Act so that habitat destruction would no longer be protected against.
The yellow-spotted woodland salamander lives in mountainous regions of the Commonwealth that have been affected by mining. During the past 20 years, there have been about 60 sightings of the amphibian. That's according to Butch Brody, a University of Virginia professor and director of the Mountain Lake Biological Station in Southwest Virginia.
Conservation biologists talk about this extinction vortex. So when you get into small population sizes, that triggers a bunch of factors like inbreeding and genetic drift and demographic processes that make a small population smaller. So yeah, when you're down in those numbers, biologically, there's not much question that they're at risk.
If the salamanders do get listed, Brody said plants and other amphibians likely would benefit as well. I'm Dave Cantor.
Full disclosure, the Southern Environmental Law Center underwrites programming on WMRA. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. And I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.